This is Dave Glowatz. On the phone with me is Ben Jarofsky of the Chicago Reader. Ready to throw it down, Ben?
All right.
Today we're talking about Ben's column titled Ben Jaworski for Mayor that appeared in the Reader on April 16, 2009. This article is not really an article. It is a response to the online comments, I assume they're all online comments, made to Ben's cover story in the Reader last week about parking meter privatization. And Ben, whose idea was it for you to do this?
The folks at the Reader, we got so many, not just to this article, but the article. I was actually going to do one for my letter to the Olympic Committee, which got a lot of response, critical and supportive, mostly supportive. And so they said, would you respond to it, some of these comments? And so I said, well, why don't I just, instead of here and there responding on the blog, just write, put them all in one place and respond. And they said, oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
And it's a little different because normally the online protocol is that people just kind of jump on to the end of the online story and rant, and there's typically no response from the author.
The Reader, in the old days when it was a newspaper only, had a sort of a general policy about letters. If a reader who was writing in a letter to the editor just wrote to denounce the story as propaganda or sort of a general vague denunciation of the point of view of the author or a denunciation of the author, et cetera, that writer, that letter writer, was given a free shot. If the letter writer had a specific accusation or allegation of a mistake, then we were asked to clarify. So either fess up to your mistake or explain why it wasn't a mistake and the letter writer was mistaken. That policy sort of changed in the age of the internet where people just routinely fire off comments under pseudonyms, and fake names, what have you. And every now and then I'll get an email from a Reader editor saying, you know, this person raises a good question. Would you respond, please? And on occasion I'll write a response.
Do you ever, as you look through the responses, the online responses to an article, just jump in and say, you know, I really should respond to this one?
No, not really. You know, actually, there's usually a dialogue that happens. I feel like I want to respond to somebody. Generally, another responder will cover the same points.
A surrogate.
Yeah, a surrogate.
A proxy.
A proxy. People have written in things that they were done well enough that they merited response. But for some reason, I've never gotten around to responding. You know, there's only so much time in one's life.
I understand. You could spend a lot of time responding on blogs, and that some people make it their careers. One thing I noticed about what you wrote, there weren't that many questions, as mostly people making comments and you responding with your comments to those comments. But there was one question early on, about a fourth of the way through, from a guy named Andrew, who accused not necessarily just you, but the Reader of coming late to the story, namely the parking meter privatization story. What did he say here? He said, your report comes so late that you might as well have been on the payroll. Where have all the reporters been? Grow some gonads and prioritize for once. And you didn't really respond to his point that I think he was making about prioritization, that the Reader, because it does a lot of things, maybe should have covered this thing a lot sooner than it did.
How ridiculous was his email? But come on, how many time do I spend on these things? You know, what does he want? Instant coverage? I mean, they delve into it, pick it apart instantly. They didn't even put the freaking stuff online until like a month ago. Good God. You be a reporter, Andrew. How many trees have you planted? Isn't that what Mayor Daley always says? How many trees have you planted? Anyway, Andrew, in defense of the Reader, our coverage was immediate. You know, first of all, there were two names on that story, my name and my colleague and friend, Mick Dumke. So we did the story together. Mick has written, I want to say, three or four blog pieces about the privatization scheme, many of which were written in the early stages of December when the city was first concocting this baby or publicizing it. He attended those meetings, and I can think of offhand two blog bits that he wrote.
It seems to me that he was saying that this was a big splash, right? This was a cover story in the paper as opposed to being something online. And I was inferring from his comment that you guys should have splashed something like this when it was going down as opposed to just doing, you know, a Cloud City blog entries on it.
I don't know. Like I said, you and I have had at least two discussions about privatization. So that means that I've done at least two articles. This, I guess, would be the third time. So I think we as a Reader have done a pretty good job of covering this and covering it at length.
So does this make you want to do more pieces like this?
You know, it was fun to do. I had a good time. I think that there's a theme that I've addressed in articles, and we've talked about it. That's one of my favorite themes in Chicago, and that's when Chicago residents have this moment of realization that their government is not what the government represents itself to be. That's putting it mildly. The government is what? Tyrannical, corrupt, scandalous, wasteful, inefficient. You know, whatever. And they're outraged. It's like they discovered it for the first time. I think that what happened here with the parking meter story is that people came face to face with the practical ramifications of a government policy that they, the people, were not asked to weigh in on. So much of what our government does happens behind the scenes, and it doesn't directly touch people in their everyday life, so they don't pay any attention to it. And I spend so much of my time trying to get people to pay attention to these issues and spending a lot of time delving into these complicated matters. This happens to be one of the few occasions where a complicated matter that I wrote about really touched a public nerve because it impacts people on a daily basis. Suddenly, the cost of filling a parking meter went up 4 times, and they're outraged. Not only that, but the meters are all broken. So the two come together. So part of my delight is dealing with the shock of people coming to the realization that their government's up to no good. And so part of me is saying, what took you so long? And welcome to the club now.
And you and I share that. I think we both approach this vocation because we are trying to wake up the populace. And it is sort of an evil pleasure when you do see the person wake up.
It is. It's always funny. I mean, of all the issues facing Chicago, how outraged am I about the parking meters? I mean, the parking meter, well, I'm pretty irritated by it, but I suppose we all have our personal favorite outrages. I'm not sure if this is my number one outrage. I would say at the moment maybe the Olympics exceeds this, although they're obviously connected. I guess I share the outrage that people have.
Well, I think you and I will both continue to keep the fight going and bring the fight to our listeners and our readers. Ben Jarofsky of the Chicago Reader, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you.
This is Dave Gloetz. We've been speaking about the rest of the story. When you have a chance, check back at MrRadio.org for further installments or subscribe to our podcast. Thanks for listening.